Hey guys, it's Megan. So we recorded this episode last weekend, and then just a few days later, Skate Canada made the ultimately very responsible decision to cancel Canadian Nationals. Things keep changing really fast this season, and things are outdated the second we record them, but we just wanted to put that out there since in this amazing conversation that we got to have with Nam Nguyen, we did talk a little bit about Canadian Nationals. But we also talk a lot about the Skate Canada Challenge, which is still happening this weekend, and we really hope that you support Team Canada and check that out. All the Canadian athletes have been taking this really well and magnanimously, and our heart goes out to them, and we all hope things return to normal as soon as possible. So without further ado, please enjoy this interview. We had a blast recording it, and we hope you guys have even more fun listening. Welcome to the Ice Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta.
And we're so lucky to have a guest with us in the metaphorical studio today. This next guest is the 2014 World Junior Champion, 2019 Skate Canada Silver Medalist, 2015 and 2019 Canadian National Champion. Please welcome to the Ice Tea Podcast, Nam Nguyen!
Hey! Woo! Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Nam. How are you doing? How's your day going?
Pretty uneventful so far. I just did a cardio workout this morning, but other than that, haven't been doing much. I've just been hanging out with my little puppy, which has always been nice. So I currently now I'm joining you guys for an awesome afternoon of chatting.
Incredible. We're so excited.
Is the puppy here? Is he here? He's
sitting next to me right now, yeah.
Oh my god, so we have two guests. We have Nam and we have Hudson, is that right?
Yes, Hudson is his name, yeah.
That's incredibly important.
This is our first deliberate dog guest. My next door neighbor's dog joins in like without being asked sometimes, but this is our first dog guest that we've ever asked for, so that's a really big first for us.
This is now a dog podcast. Everything else is secondary.
Honestly, I don't even mind that it'll turn into a dog podcast. Hudson is everything to me.
We're going to get there. Trust and believe we have a list of questions and half of them are about Hudson. So he's very important to all of us.
That's equality.
That's equality. Let's talk about some figure skating and then we're going to talk about some dogs.
All right.
So, as of time of recording, we are now in the first weekend of the 2021 Skate Canada Challenge, and the senior men's events are next weekend. So, what was the process like preparing for and competing in this virtual competition for you?
Right. So, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't really been following too much of what's been happening for Challenge. I didn't even know that they were taping the events this weekend and next weekend. But around a month ago, all the skaters in their respective like regions / hubs came together and did a filming for both short and long, with no judges, no audience, of course, you know, just to follow all the protocols from our local governments. And I have to tell you, for me personally, like, it was nice to compete, you know, after like 9 months of not doing anything. But to be honest with you, it wasn't really like a huge deal for me. Like, to be frank, I felt dead inside, you know, because for me as a type of skater, I rely on the audience and even the judges. Their presence is so crucial to me and it reflects on my performance. I believe that the senior men taping will be next weekend, I think. And to give the whole thing away, but you can kind of see, like, my face, I was a little dead. Like, honestly, the people that were in the building, it was me, my coach, and I think, or the cameraman, and, like, two of our Skate Ontario officials. That was it. And for me, like, I did my job, like, you know, there's still a lot of things to work on, but in terms of like the energy and the vibes going on, like it was a little tough for me to try to get through, I would say, compared to, you know, a regular competition.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, like, I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to compete because, you know, as a skater, like, we all have that competitive fire within ourselves, regardless of how long we've been off the ice. And just to get out there, perform our programs by ourselves on the ice was a very nice feeling. Mm-hmm. But one that was a little weird and for me a little bit dead. But I'm excited for people to see my programs for sure.
How do you negotiate like feeling like you're in practice with like no audience and anything? How do you, I guess, psych yourself up to be like, this is actually like, this is gonna get scored, judges are going to eventually see this? How do you negotiate that in your mind?
I didn't clue in that the judges were gonna look at it until like this morning when I woke up and I saw on Instagram that Skate Canada was, you know, doing a live stream of all the skaters programs. Mm-hmm. Cause back like a month ago, I didn't know that or how the judges were gonna judge it.
Yeah.
So I thought like at the time, all I was gonna do is just, show up, do my program, call it a day. That was pretty much it. It was just a super simple train of thought. But then when I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, okay. So they're gonna have the judges from wherever they are, they're gonna judge it live along with audience members around the world watching. So yeah, back then I was just like, I wasn't nervous. If mm-hmm. I had known like a month ago, I would have been a little nervous, but that wasn't the case for me.
Like from an audience perspective, you're clearly a skater who gets a lot of energy from the audience and likes to, interact and be charismatic in that way. Was there any thought of like changing that for a camera, or like, is it just not really translatable?
It's hard, I did try to juice it up for the camera, especially for the short program, because originally I was going to skate to Adios Noninos, but then I went back to my old one, Blues for Klook. And in my footwork section is like a really good opportunity to just like sauce it up for the audience. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we only have a cameraman, and I tried to do my best, but I don't think it was like the same energy that I put out last season. But you can tell that I did try, and I was like, just giving a little eye contact with them. But for me, I was just like, this is a little weird. Like, I know the camera guy too, that's operating behind the camera. So I was like, oh, this is a little awkward.
Oh yeah.
Just being extremely charismatic.
I'm trying to be like a little flirtatious, right? Cause it's all bluesy and like super, super low key. Right. Yeah. And like for me to be doing that to like the guy that I know behind the camera, it's like, all right, what's going on here,
That's a little awkward.
It was a great time, though. I still had a great short. I felt like I had a good short program outing. But yeah, no, it was, as I said earlier, definitely a different experience performing, like, in a similar competitive atmosphere without the judges or audience there.
Yeah. I'm so glad we're recording this, because you can fully see the wavelengths when you said you were back to your short program from last year, which I'm a huge fan of. You can see me gasp.
We love Klook. We got to be honest. We're Klook fans.
Happy Klook is back.
Thank you.
It's a great program.
Thank you so much. Yeah. That the whole process behind that, I straight up like went back to it like I think a week and a half before challenge, before like we were supposed to film. And the whole summer, and fall, it was kind of like for me just trying to train through Adios Noninos. And originally, the whole idea, for a program that different for my style was to just experiment with some mm-hmm. different genres before the Olympics, right? Because mm-hmm. obviously, Olympic season, you want to make sure everything is dialed in. You want to be comfortable with what mm-hmm. you're skating with. And seeing that this season was like, the last season before the Olympic season, it was a perfect opportunity to experiment. However, Adios was just a little too much for me. It was really different. I had never skated to a tango mm-hmm. other than a number of years ago when I was like a novice boy, but that doesn't really count. And also too, like it was the same version as Yuna Kim. And I mm-hmm. wasn't really like down to, be compared to her. And not saying that like I come close in comparisons with her, like I'm like a far shot from her, and I don't really want any judgment thrown my way. And that was like another thing too. But at home, like I really tried to get into the tango mood, but it just didn't feel like it was working. So I made the ultimate decision to go back to Blues for Klook, and it was just so comfortable. Like the first run through I did with it was just, it felt like going into like your most comfortable blanket. That's what it felt like. And that was kind of like the feeling that I wanted to maintain for the rest of the season, if there is even a season.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Like, so many things are so up in the air right now with, everything that's going on in the world and how different this season has been, it completely makes sense that you don't want to like put yourself completely far out of your comfort zone and
change every variable. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How has training been for you since 10 months ago when all of this started?
Yeah. So training for me has been quite interesting. It's been up and down, which, you know, is obviously normal, but like the spectrum of the ups and the spectrum of the downs are like completely far from each other. I was off the ice for, I think, like 3 months. We all were, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like from Worlds, when they announced the cancellation of Worlds, I think a week after that is when we got into like the full lockdown. Nobody was on the ice for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And at first I enjoyed it because it was a long season for me and I was just exhausted. And I was also like really upset that they canceled Worlds. So
of course.
I was a little bit depressed on that. So I was like bedridden for, I would say, a good 2 weeks. I spent most of my days in bed and it was quite enjoyable. And then I realized like, oh, this is not a vibe that I want to be on right now. So I got to start, you know, trying to create a schedule to keep myself busy. And that was just exhausting. I don't know why, but like, you know, trying to maintain your workouts every single day or even just sitting around was exhausting for me, like mentally exhausting. I couldn't even keep up with that. And so those 3 months were quite challenging. And then when I got back onto the ice, I did not approach it the way that I should have approached it. My first session back with, like, my goal was to do a triple axel. Like, I expected myself to be in the same shape as I was going into Worlds, which is like, no bueno. You can't ever do that. Mm-hmm. And so I made it up to triple loop, but the way I did it was I just like threw myself into the air and it messed up my mental game for the longest time. And so all I was doing was playing catch up, trying to learn new technique and trying to just find my rhythm once again. And that took me like, I would say 3-4 months before I started feeling comfortable on the ice. And then fast forward to now, like I would say it's okay. Like I'm not in like the best shape mentally. Like I would say physically I'm okay. I can get through like my programs and we've been drilling those run throughs and all that stuff, but I still don't feel comfortable on the ice, which is a little weird for me because I've been on the ice for quite a while now.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's all part of the process too. And with all the events being canceled and, you know, like there's really no momentum, right? So for me personally, like I was training for, you know, whatever summer events there was supposed to be that I usually do, those were canceled. And then Skate Canada was like a big event that I was like really training really well for. And then that got canceled. And I was like, oh God, this is really stressful for me. Like, I don't know how I can put myself through this again. And then Challenge got through and I was like really excited for that and really happy to have gone through with that. And then now Nationals, I don't know, because the numbers in BC are not doing too good. And then in terms of like the virtual stuff, I don't really know too much about it. But I'm pretty sure we'll find out sooner rather than later. But yeah, I would say training in general, it's okay. Mentally, it's a little game right now, but physically I'm in pretty good shape.
You know what,
I just realized that was like a really super long answer. I'm sorry.
No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. We like having people talk to us. I think it's extremely valid. And I think it's going to be helpful for a lot of people who are listening to like recognize that, you know, because so many people ever since quarantine started have been all like, hashtag we get up, like everything's great, we're going to like persevere and all of that. And it's good to hear from someone at your level that like, it has been hard. Like everyone's routine and everything has been changed very like deeply, and it's fine to acknowledge that.
It's a drastic change for all of us, and you know, I don't want to be taken as like ungrateful. Like obviously I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be skating right now, because not a lot of people across Canada or even in the world right now are having that chance to skate. And I really don't want people to be thinking that I'm super ungrateful, you know, because there's a lot more difficult challenges that other people out there are facing. I mean, look at what's happening in the US right now. Like it's pretty rough, right? And for me to just kind of like explain my process is like, just that's my process, right? But first and foremost, like I'm just so grateful to be having the opportunity to just go through all of this, to be able to skate and just do something that I enjoy. And I just just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, of course. Well, and thank you so much for being honest too, because I think like probably everybody, definitely us, can relate to, you know, being bedridden or having a hard time keeping up a routine that's like self-motivated, or going back and then doing too much because all the barometers are just off. So yeah, I agree. I think it's great for the listeners to hear that somebody, you know, at your level who people look up to, you know, going through the same things. Like, it's funny because we had this conversation too a lot like this year of like, who are we to even like talk about skating when there's so much going on? But like,
yeah,
it's important because I think like for a lot of people, it's like something that they can look forward to enjoying as a fan or a spectator.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's important to have that.
Like I was so relieved or not relieved. I was so happy to be watching, you know, nationals in Russia, nationals in Japan. Like that was kind of like my form of escape.
Exactly.
From whatever's happening in the world right now. And I think a lot of fans and athletes and people in skating can relate to that. And so I think, yeah, like skating provides like a nice little distraction. Like I only get 2 hours of ice every day, which, you know, for me is like just 1 hour under like my usual, but it gives me that opportunity to just kind of like get away from, you know, the stressful things that are happening in life right now, and just allows me to figure out, you know, something that's a little bit more personal, which I feel at when I'm on the ice.
That's beautifully put.
Yeah,
that's
well done.
Beautifully put. You mentioned like watching Russian and Japanese nationals and all of that. It is always so delightful when you chime in on Twitter. All of us have been like working so hard to like live tweet and stuff, and then you just drop like one gem and I'm like, well shit, we just might as well retire now. This is Neo's coming for a gig. This is fine.
it's funny because Twitter used to be like, I used to love Twitter when like, and this was like a few years ago, and I didn't know that Twitter was like the way it is right now. It could be a little bit dangerous. It can be a little bit, it can be quite aggressive.
For real.
So now I've kind of like kept myself off of Twitter. Like I still go on it every day, but unfortunately it's filled with like US politics, which I really don't know why is on my timeline, but I just felt that it was appropriate to show my appreciation for Yuzu's program. Like obviously I hope everybody has seen it. It's a masterpiece, like both short and long, especially the long. Like holy moly, like the dude is training like what, 10 months without any coaching supervision or anything, no like external motivation, and the guy like just pulls that out like butter. Like I don't even know how he does it, but that was incredible. And I just thought, you know, oh, maybe people can share the same views as, wow, that was an incredible performance, let's all just, you know, bask in that. But yeah, usually no, I keep off of it just because, you know, there's a lot of again dangerous territories that I don't want to be going into, but like some figure skating stands can be a little bit feisty.
Oh, this is a safe space. You can talk to us about that.
Yeah, we know a thing or two about that.
We have been bullied online because we've said things people don't like.
Yes, we definitely understand the skating community online is a lot.
Look, the thing is, people are allowed to say whatever they want, and I respect that. But the way you say it, like people, they got to work on how they say it. Like, I don't care if you tell me that I suck. I know that I suck. But if you were going to be, like, straight up rude about it, then that kind of hurts a little bit, you know? And I would hope that you could try to, like, find an alternative way to say that I suck, which I would appreciate. And some fans are really good at that. And so there are some that I don't even know that say I suck, and they do say I suck. But it's just their choice of words that get me, which I really like. But, yeah, no, in general, though, Twitter is, well, I think, from my perspective and knowledge, it wasn't the way it used to be when I was like 16 or 15 years old. Like I remember before every performance I would tweet out or put it out on Instagram like, it's short program time, it's free program time. Like, it was like so innocent, and like, you know, that would get me fired up. And now it's like you can see what everybody on the platform is saying, and it can be like cutthroat, you know. So I just stay off it.
It's probably healthy.
It probably is definitely healthy.
Sure.
Well, you kind of mentioned your program selection into this weird season. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your free skate and what that's been like?
Yeah, so my free program this year is a Josh Groban piece. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. It's called the Mi Mankerai. It's a piece that I listened to over the summer and I just fell in love with it. And it was also on theme with the change that I wanted to try to, you know, be comfortable in. And it, because I'm used to being known as a skater that skates to music that's a little bit more upbeat, mood enlightening, and all that stuff. And I want to try to see if I can skate to something a little bit more emotional, more passionate. And I love it. I love the process. I honestly am a little nervous with what people are gonna think of it when they see it next week. But every time that I, you know, put that music on and just train a section or my program, I just perform the hell out of it. Like, it makes me emotionally exhausted. Now, I don't know if that's a thing. Like, if there are other skaters out there that, you know, listen and then they've skated to like an emotional performance or piece of music, by the end of the week, like, are you emotionally exhausted? Because that is me every single week. Like, I am trying to put like 200% into everything that I do for this program. And you know, as I say, it's a beautiful piece, and I really want people to see that different side of me, because I think that I have some, you know, a little bit of a vulnerable side, a little bit of a soft side. And I hope that, you know, people can see where I'm coming from with this. But yeah, no, this is all part of the process with, you know, the last season before the Olympics, trying something new, see if it works. And if it works, then keep that similar tone for next season.
Yeah. Well, I'll say I'm not a competitive figure skater, but Netta and I are both actors and we met in grad school for theater. Yeah. And so what you're describing is like extremely real. And like, if you do a very, if you play a really emotionally challenging part, you feel the emotional hangover. We had an acting teacher who used to call actors emotional acrobats. So you're doing physical emotional acrobatics.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad I'm not alone in this, because like, I didn't know that was a thing, right? Like, obviously in like early, like, or late summer, early fall when I was training it, like, I just thought I was straight up out of shape. But like, even now, like, I'm still like wheezing and like just bedridden on weekends, because it takes a lot out of you when you're just, you know, trying to get into that character and show that, you know, emotional side. Whereas let's say like the Beatles program from last year, it was all about being hip, being super swag. Yeah. And that doesn't really take a lot of energy for me. Like, well, okay, first of all, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but like enjoying my lifestyle is trying to be like a hip and swag kind of guy. And so that's kind of like that's a little bit more easy to attain and not as energy wasting, I would say. Whereas this program, it's a little bit more, it requires a lot more out of me. And that's something that I'm not really used to. Yeah. But I still love it though.
So excited to see this program now. I'm like, the way you talk about it, like Megan said, this is where we live, is like the emotional, performative, you know, digging deep kind of world. I cannot wait to see what you cooked up, because it sounds so incredible. I will probably cry. Happens all the time.
We'll all just cry together from all over the world. It'll be great. Yeah, hearing you talk about it, knowing you as a skater, at least, you know, from as a spectator, I would be very surprised if that didn't come across in a big way to the audience. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You can expect a strongly worded DM when I've cried about this.
Let's wait until after challenge, because I can tell another little giveaway here. If you watch next week, you're going to just see me trying to get through this program. It's obviously like, you know, everybody's like first, not like official outing in a competitive environment. And so for me, the whole priority was just to get through to the end. There are some sections which I have felt comfortable in terms of like being in shape to just invest emotionally a tad bit more. But all in all, it's still like a work in progress, that there are still so many parts that I need to kind of clean up and change around. But if Nationals happens, and I hope it does, you'll see a much better version of it for sure.
You had mentioned that like past programs, what you have kind of built a name for yourself on, are these sort of upbeat, hip, swag kind of programs. That sounds so lame coming out of my mouth, but whatever.
Oh, yes, the hip swag.
The hip swag. Do you have a favorite? I mean, obviously, Klook is near and dear to your heart, but are there others that you look back on and think, like, that's a GOAT program?
The Beatles. Beatles program for sure. What else? So the Beatles for sure. And then way back in 2010, I skated to Fever as my junior men's short program. And that, I think, was like a really cool program.
Classic.
Because I was supposed to be a nerd. That was like the idea behind that program was to become like a school nerd with like super high waisted trousers, suspenders. And I even got to perform that at the 2010 Olympic Gala, which was pretty dope.
Oh, that's right. And I remember that.
And then for fun, we put on glasses, like just without the lens. We just put on like these like frames to really capture that nerd vibe. And I think that program really encapsulates my spirit. And to be honest, I don't even know how to describe it in words. It's kind of like a feeling thing when you watch it and then you're like, oh yeah, this guy's a loser, he's a loser, yeah, that's cool. that's the vibe that I'm going for, you know, a really cool loser, like that's the, you know, the thing that I was trying to shoot for. But then, you know, as you get older, you don't really want to be like that. So as years go by, you try to evolve but still kind of keep that, you know, youthful energy. Mm-hmm. And I think the Beatles really tied it all up together. Right, starting off with Come Together, that first piece. Mm-hmm. That was like, I think, my favorite part. Like Kurt Browning also was a huge part in that whole process for the Beatles. And he really helped me bring that out, because when we first started it, that my whole energy was kept within myself. But he helped me try to get it out to the audience. Because my initial thought with being like a hip kind of person is keep it low key. Right? I think that's like the theme, is to keep it low key. And it's so hard to demonstrate that in like a figure skating arena with like thousands of seats. But Kurt really did a great job in helping me show that off for sure. So I would say, yeah, like the Beatles, Blues for Klug, and Fever from 2010 are my favorite programs.
Nice. Something I really appreciate about your Beatles program, which I may or may not have rewatched like 10 times in preparation for this interview. I really appreciate the way you can balance the different sections of it and the different moods in them.
Oh, I'm so happy you brought that up, because that too was also like another concern, was when we were constructing the music edits, my first concern was that I don't want it to be monotone, even though it's going to be a really cool program. I want there to be differentiations in terms of the mood, right? So the beginning was, yes, it's cool, but at the same time, it's very low key. And then in the middle, I want something a little bit more, it's not emotional, but like, Let It Be is slow, right? Slow, it's juicy, it's all that. And we needed to add that. And then the final part was, I needed to be an absolute party, an absolute gong show. I wanted people to be standing up during my choreo step sequence. Obviously, that's a little bit hard to achieve. But at Skate Canada last year, I saw somebody get out of their seats, like, just before I ended my choreo step sequence. And I was like, this is it, boys. I just did it. Like, I absolutely nailed that goal. Like, 1% of it, I'll take it. I loved it.
Canadian audiences are so hype.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Like, once you have them going for you, you're gold. Like, even if you fall on every single jump, like, I don't really recommend that. You have them. You have them in your fist, and you can really just sell it to them and they'll vibe with you. And that's something that I really enjoyed with Skate Canada, and something that I was like extremely looking forward to in Montreal. But then again, it is what it is. But yeah, no, like the program was constructed to clearly demonstrate the different moods, but tying in all together, like the ultimate mood, which was, you know, it's a program that I want people to know about my personality.
Yeah.
And then the final like minute of it was going to be just literally get going, get people out of their seats and just vibe with them.
I think you achieved that.
Absolutely. I distinctly remember recording the episode and like specifically saying that we thought you did a great job showing a range of emotion, because that's what you want to see in a free skate. That's a medley of different songs of different feelings, is like, you want to see, you know, we always want to see a little bit of acting, right? Because that's where we come from. So glad that was like something that you're proud of too, because you should be.
if you go back and listen to us talking about Skate Canada last year, there is a lot of, like, the range of emotions and the expressiveness.
That's what I meant. Just, I think, like, I said world and I meant Skate Canada. You know how, like, time is fake and I have no concept of it anymore because of the past year?
Me too. I honestly don't have concept of time anymore. Like, I straight up did not process that January 1st of 2021 was, like, a thing. I thought we were still in summer. Yeah, no, like, this quarantine has been doing some funny stuff to us.
And I think it's hard with skating, too, because sometimes the competition is the year it's happening now, and sometimes it's the next year. Like, they call it 2021, but it's in, like, December of 2020, and it's just all very...
Yep.
Just horrible. I wanted to ask, and you've kind of mentioned this, you know, when talking about different programs and looking forward towards the Olympics, what goes into, like, picking a new program and, like, the style of it for you and your team of coaches and choreographers and everyone? How do you decide what you want to be showcasing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my whole career up until, I would say, 2017, 2018, the music were already chosen for me. And back then I worked with the greats like Lori Nichol, Jeff Buttle, David Wilson, like the people like everybody knows around the world. And I think that was just all part of like my developmental journey as a skater to really try to work out different themes, see what works, see what doesn't work. And obviously whatever didn't work, we had to just work through it for the season. Cause you know, it's all like as a young kid, like, or a young skater, you gotta work through it. You gotta adapt to it and all that yada yada. Mm-hmm. But now I choose my own music and the inspiration comes from literally anywhere. Like, for example, like when I chose the Beatles, like that wasn't my original choice at all. I wanted to skate to Queen, but Matteo Rizzo of Italy did such a great job with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't want to, like, fall under his shadow. Like, I didn't want to, like, you know, contest with that at all.
Yeah, he swapped that in, like, late in the season, too.
Yeah. But he did such an incredible job with it, and I was, in awe of it. But then I was like, you know what, I wanted to find something that had a similar vibe to it. And then when I was driving home from somewhere, I don't even know, the Beatles played. And then I was like, this is it. Like, I imagined, like, a scenario where I've done a clean program, and at the end of it, you know, it's, like, the energy, their vibrations runs throughout my body, and it's just, like, something that you feel at a rock concert. I wanted something like that.
Oh, that's such a great way of describing
it. Yeah, and then my coaches were, like, let's do it. Let's capitalize on that. And yeah, I mean, I think that was a great choice. And then Blues for Klook was a little bit less drastic. I think it was just something that I wanted to skate to for a really long time, but was never really allowed to. And obviously now, like, I can choose to skate to whatever I want. I was like, okay, I think this is the perfect year to skate to it. And of course, like, I was going to take in, you know, a little bit of fire with being drawn comparisons to Daisuke Takahashi, because he is the master of that program, like, hands down, no matter what.
Yeah.
He killed that performance, but I wanted to kind of like do a little bit of a tribute to him. And I think that was like a little percentage of that, but most of all was just, you know, I love the overall feel of it. And it was something that I wanted to play around with. So that's kind of how we chose those two programs. But I think for this upcoming Olympic season, I think it'll take a little bit more dedication, more time, more effort, because I obviously wanted to be more special. My goal, obviously, is to make the Olympic team. unlike, you know, Yuzu or Nathan, or really, like, the top six skaters in the world, which they've already booked themselves a spot, pretty much, and their goal is to podium. For me, it's to make the Olympic team, right? So that whole process is my Olympics, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to really find programs that are special, and that also can, you know, tell a little bit of a story about my career so far. And I think that's all I'm going to say about like the whole process going into it. So yeah.
Well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed for you throughout that entire process. I don't know why I'm saying we. Megan, you can speak for yourself, but I deeply believe in your ability to make the Olympic team and be outstanding. I'm so excited to see it happen.
Thank you so much.
I do too. Wouldn't that be awful if I was like, I don't know. No, of course I do.
You're like,
I'd be like, you know, that's a fair point. I'm gonna try to work hard to prove you wrong. You know, that's always it's always a good narrative. The underdog trying to prove people wrong. That's always like the fun part, you know?
Our problem is we root for everyone. We're incapable of not, you know, and even if there's somebody we don't like, we always end up coming around at the end. But no,
we're like, oh, fine. Yes.
That's not even at all. I love that.
There's hours and hours of episodes of this show that would prove me wrong if I ever said I wasn't rooting for you. So,
cut to a master cut.
Yeah, master cut of being like, Nan did so well. Netta, I believe you had a question about a specific piece of equipment.
Yes, Nam, I want to ask about your skates, because I know you skate with boots that like very few people skate with, and I'm curious about how you came to like collaborate with them, and also how and why. I'm so fascinated. I read their website and they're like, we 3D print your feet, and I'm like, how?
Yeah, so the company that I skate for is Aura Skates, and they're based out in Canada, so Winnipeg. Manitoba, Canada. I joined their team, I think, after the 2018-2019 season. And I literally just DM'd their social media rep and I was like, hi, can I buy out your skates? And then I think it was all pretty organic from there. I met up with Von Schipper, 2010 Olympian, and he kind of helped me get set up with the skates. And I think their technology is quite incredible. They take a 3D scan of your foot, and then they build the skate for you inside it out. Whereas most skate companies build their skate from outside in. Mm-hmm. And the idea for building it inside out is to really make sure that the layers wrap around the mold of your feet. That's why it's like 100% custom, because it can wrap around every bumps and all that fun stuff of your feet. And reduces the amount of the break in time, which is something that I really thought was important back then. But now I've realized, like, you know, it's good to have a little bit of a break in time just to really get that boot, you know, to soften up and really just wrap around the foot. And, you know, so far I've been enjoying their stuff. And to be quite honest, like there's been a few times where they've sent skates, which didn't pan out the way that they should have. But you know, it's communication is key, right? So you have to communicate with them what you want, what you don't want. And they've done a great job in trying to help alleviate my pickiness. They're great. And hopefully the skating world can kind of recognize them in the next few years for sure.
Their website reads like something like from the future. It's
fascinating to me.
I mean, the technology that they use is quite advanced, I think. And another thing that I forgot to mention is that once you have the skates, the traditional skate, you put them in the oven and you tie them up with your hands, right? Like you lace them up like you would when you get onto, before you get onto the ice. With Auras, you stick them in the oven and instead of tying them up, you use saran wrap to wrap the whole boot.
Wow.
And that creates like a 360 degree custom fit onto your foot. Because the tape, like, it goes around like every single part of your boot. Whereas when you lace them up, you're only lacing it from the top of your foot and you're pulling that down to your feet, which makes it tighter, but not super, super custom. Whereas with Auras, like from the side, from the bottom, from the back of the boot, the top of the tongue, wherever you want, like it can happen because of the saran wrap. Obviously it's a little bit physically exhausting because you have to wrap. But once you get it right, it's pretty good.
That's incredible. Aura, if you're listening and if you'd like to sponsor us, I would not say no. This sounds incredible. Wow, that sounds so cool. I'm sold. You're a great spokesperson.
I guess shifting gears a tiny bit, we wanted to ask you, like, your friendship with your teammate, legend icon star Keegan Messing is, of course, iconic. So we wanted to know just, like, what does it mean to you to, like, maintain such strong friendships among these people that you're competing against? And, like, does it help you at all?
With Keegan especially, our relationship is quite unique. First, when he first moved to Canada, I hated him. Like, I wanted to, like, just not do anything with him. I like, straight up despised him, like... I think he cut me off in practice like a number of times and I was just like not a huge fan, but until like after 2018 Olympic qualifiers, our nationals, that's when we became close. And we really got to kind of know each other a little bit better, because the season after we shared a lot of competitions, we were roommates. And so we were forced to kind of get to know each other. And since then, he's been honestly like a brother to me. Like he's family to me, really. Like we call each other like every day. I'm probably gonna call him in like a couple of hours. we just check in on each other. Like, we both are a little bit, you know, struggling with skating right now through this pandemic, just mentally. And we've been there for each other just to motivate ourselves and push each other. You know, when we see each other for competitions, it's not really a competition for the both of us, like between the two of us, because we obviously want like each other to do the best that we can, and the best man wins. And he I don't know, like he's a great dude, and I miss him so much. I can't wait to see him. But yeah, no, I'll probably call him in like a few hours and talk to him about this podcast.
You should let him know he's welcome anytime.
He's super welcome. We'll ask him about you.
Yeah, I'll definitely pass that message on. He sucks at social media stuff. Like, there's a lot of things that, you know, he's great with, but the two things that he sucks at are social media and fashion. And I drill him on that every single time.
You don't think the cowboy hat is fashion?
No, it's ugly. It's ugly. Like, why do you think I kept it for like a long time? Is because I wanted him to just like move on,
give
from
up
it,
on it.
Oh,
upgrade,
I see,
his sense of fashion.
And here I thought it was like a touching like friend gesture. You were trying to save him from himself.
No. I just needed to like for him to just move on, find something else to, you know, make a thing out of, leave the cowboy hat behind for good. But he just begged for it like every single day, and then I was like, you know, I'll just bring it to Korea and then call it a day with that.
The man has a strong brand, and we have to respect it.
Yeah.
You gotta respect the brand.
He's a stubborn guy, and in many ways, it's worked for him, so he's a good dude for sure.
Oh, that's so sweet. This is such a, like, emblematic friendship thing as well. I don't know, I think every single friendship has one of those things where it's like, well, this is just how they are. We're appreciating them for it.
Except, Netta, you love everything about me, right? There's nothing that you think is annoying about me.
I adore every single thing about you. You've never once annoyed me in my entire life.
That's right.
See?
That's so cute.
That's completely true. But also, like I said, we went to school together, and before we even met, I stalked Megan on Facebook, and I saw her profile picture, and I was like, she's too pretty to be my friend. And I was just intimidated for like a semester. So that's also an option.
I had not stalked you on Facebook, so I wish I had like a similar story, but I guess I was more bad at social media, Keegan, in this case.
Tag yourself. Are you bad at social media, or are you just like expecting to hate your best friends? Niam, I want to take you back a little bit in your career. I want to take you back to 2014 for a second.
Yep, for sure.
You won Junior Worlds in 2014.
Yeah.
That's extremely important to me, and you want to know why? You won Junior Worlds at my home rink, where I skate 5 times a week. And
really?
I always think about that. Yeah.
Oh my god, I love Bulgaria.
Oh my god, talk to me about Bulgaria.
You just made Netta's year and life by saying, oh my god, I love Bulgaria.
I'm going to cut that as a ringtone for myself.
Bulgaria, like, it's such a beautiful place.
Oh, thank you so much.
To be honest with you, I can't, like, right now I can't remember much of Bulgaria just because, like, too many things have happened from 2014 till now.
Jesus,
but the two things that I remember the most are, like, the cutest stray dogs there.
Mm, yeah, and we have a bunch of rank dogs.
The abundance of pasta.
Yes.
That is all and the chocolate. Pasta, chocolate, and the stray dogs there were, like, I think the key factors in me winning that event. Okay?
You're so valid.
Here's the thing with this event. I came into that event with no expectations because I literally had not made a name for myself at all on the international scene. Like, my Junior Grand Prix track record wasn't the greatest. Nobody really counted me for anything. And going into this event, I literally just wanted to put out two clean performances and just hope for the best. And the best turned out to be winning the championship, which was really exciting for me. So nobody expected that. I didn't even expect it. And it turned out to be a nice surprise. And I think that all just was like the whole energy that I felt from Bulgaria. Like, it was sunny every single day. When it comes to events, I usually like to lock myself into my hotel room and do nothing. But with Bulgaria, I found myself taking a walk around the local area and taking the nature and everything in, really. And I don't know. I haven't been back since, which has been quite surprising because I really want to go back just to hang out, vacation, and spend a little bit more time there. But yeah, no, 2014 Junior Worlds was a special, like, time for me, I would say.
I'm not going to be creepy and invite you over, but when the pandemic's over, if you want to come back to Bulgaria, coffee's on me.
Basically, is what
Absolutely,
I'm saying.
I'll take you up on that.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's fun. This has cured most of my depression. Maybe not
as much
all of it,
as much as can be expected in, you know, these times, TM.
Absolutely.
So one thing we like to ask all of our guests, Nam, is like, what's on your skating bucket list? Like, are there any choreographers or pieces of music or like even costume ideas that you just really want to try at some point in your career?
Interesting question. For choreographers, I think I'm pretty set in that department. I've been very lucky to have worked with, you know, a lot of great choreographers. So in that front, I'm good. Pieces of music, you know, there's so many kinds of music that I want to skate to, but it's just a matter of, is it presentable? Like for a show, like I can, you know, like put some BTS on and holy, let's get going. But for a competition environment, I'm not quite sure if that's, you know, the vibe that the judges want.
You could do like the orchestral Black Swan, maybe. I feel like that's like you could
did
get
you
that
see
under the
some,
wire.
This girl from Russia? Did you see this girl from Russia? She posted a video on YouTube of her skating to that. And
oh,
it was like
that.
The most majestic thing in the world. Like she put out some choreography that was directly from the music video, which were pretty spot on, and like added her own choreography to it, which was really great.
I need
and,
to see
you
that.
Know, like, yeah, I know. You gotta watch that. I don't know why I was so passionate about that.
You trust me. You have to know that about me, that I would never judge you for that. My goal is to get every single one of our guests to somehow talk about BTS with me. So.
Yeah, like if this season was like a regular season, like all other seasons, like my exhibition program would have been to Dynamite.
Good. Correct.
You
yes.
should still do that next year, whenever.
Yeah, I think that I'm still like on that. Like, I want to skate to an exhibition piece to BTS because I
Hell
love
yeah.
BTS.
Me too. Who's your bias, Nam?
Jimin and V.
I know very little about
I'm a
BTS,
I'm a
but
sugar
I know
person.
That I like V.
Yeah, Netta's yeah. bias is V. I'm a Yumi girl.
How's his shoulder doing? Didn't he have shoulder surgery?
He did have that's a hard thing to say. Shoulder surgery, he did. And I think he recently showed up on the New Year's Eve live stream that their label did. And he didn't, like, dance or sing, but he was, like, there and did not appear to be in any sort of pain. So that's, like, a big step up.
Right, okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, we gotta watch out for the boy, you know? You gotta make sure his well-being is up there.
It's
that's
true.
That's awesome. I've been keeping up with their YouTube channel. I think they have two, right? Big Hit Labels, and then there's Bangtan TV.
Yes.
I've been keeping up with the second one, and there's been a couple of clips which Suga has been on, but I don't know if that's like a past kind of thing or like the present kind of deal, so I kind of just like given up on it because it's too exhausting for me to keep up. But Jimin and V, for me, it's like they're two good looking dudes.
Yeah, they are, and they're like amazing at dancing, and it's like, where can you go wrong? And I'll give you the pro tip, is you can kind of tell when they filmed them based on hair color, because they like dye their hair
okay,
at specific
okay.
times. So like if like Yoongi's blonde, that means it was like last spring.
Oh, that good tip. That's
yeah,
that's smart.
A pro
I didn't
tip.
Think of that.
Yeah, Namjoon was blue hair for like a minute. So you can really kind of carbon date that.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I cannot believe you've abandoned me to do a K-pop podcast.
No, we'll reel it back in. This is, listen, we were already about to transition into the fun section of the interview, so this is...
As opposed to the miserable, super serious section.
Listen, you got to talk about your home nation of Bulgaria.
That's
now I get
correct.
To talk about my home nation of ARMY.
Oh, God.
It's a better place to live than the US right now. Yikes.
I don't know much about BTS, but I do know that anytime Megan shows me a video, I always like V. So that's where I stand.
BTS is like where it's at. Their music is incredible.
It
I
really
love
is.
Them.
I'm just so intimidated. There's so much lore. There's like so many like looks and YouTube channels and people know things about their lives. And I'm scared to dive into that.
It's a commitment. You have to, it's a commitment. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have one last really serious question for you, Nam. Every year when we watch Canadian Nationals, they show ads for the Tim Hortons chicken tenders. And every year we're like, those look so good. Have you had them?
Don't get it.
No, they're not
Don't
as good
it.
As they look on TV. That was like the big question.
No. That's they're like not? Magic of TV advertising. The one like the one thing I can tell you to get from Tim Hortons is their sausage breakfast wrap. That,
oh, that sounds good.
Is like magic in your mouth. It's like best way to start your day and something that I will occasionally eat for lunch and dinner. But their chicken tenders, not so good.
Not good.
It's a little too dry, in my opinion.
Yeah, because, you know, coffee shops are notorious for their delicious, moist chicken. It's a real surprise. Yeah.
Listen, if you follow my Instagram in the summer, like, almost every weekend, you'll find me posting, like, some extravagant restaurant that I'm always at, or the food that I'm about to consume. Like, that is, like, the standard that I'm used to. And chicken tenders, like, I have a standard for chicken tenders.
As you should.
Tim Hortons just isn't it, you know? Mm-hmm. I sound so spoiled right now, but please believe that.
But
I just love going around to different kinds of restaurants and like, fulfilling my taste buds.
Next time I go to Canada, I don't want to waste my time, you know what I mean? So I'm glad I asked.
For sure.
That's super important.
It's vital information. Because we're serious sports journalists here, you know what I mean? Like, we gotta ask the hard-hitting questions.
Exactly. Ones that create controversy.
Can you imagine if someone's like, Nam's canceled because he doesn't like chicken tenders?
You know what? I wouldn't even be surprised if people were like that. Look, if it's not clear enough, I have a genuine fear of Twitter and
you like, should.
The people that support the sport. Some people, not all the people. Like, most people on that support the sport, great people, love them. But then there's like a 1%, which I'm just terrified of. Like, I'm so scared.
We have that in common.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they would be canceling me just because I said Tim Hortons chicken tenders were not juicy enough for me.
Someone's going to be like, oh, this is so un-Canadian of him. How dare he represent this country?
I know, honestly, though.
One time someone got mad at the two of us because we were talking about, like, the men's event for something, but we said boys instead of men, and someone was like, they're men, how dare you?
Oh, come on.
Like, left us a negative review and everything, was like, watch your mouth, they're men.
They're men. No boys. Yeah, you know,
fun
everybody's
times,
a
good
critic,
people.
But you know, we have a lot
yeah,
of
exactly.
We have a lot of wonderful listeners, and one of the segments that they love the most, that is like our most like popular segment, is called Plushie Corner. Netta, do you want to explain to Nam what Plushie Corner is?
I do. Plushie Corner used to be a thing in the before times when people were allowed to bring stuff into the arena and audiences were allowed, where we would, at the end of our coverage for like any event, we would just talk about like the plushies that people would get. And obviously, like right now, health and safety doesn't allow that. But do you have a favorite from the before times of like a memorable thing that you were thrown at from an audience member?
Yeah. So I, last year, a Cup of Russia, somebody threw the stuffy. And I honestly don't know what it is, but I've named him Mr. Potato, and I sleep with him every night.
Oh my God. Is he a potato?
Probably makes me sound like a softie. He's not, I don't think he's a potato. That's the thing. I don't know what this dude is. He's got a face, but his shape and like it's a light brown color kind of deal, but the shape, I don't really know. I don't know if it's an animal, if it's a vegetable. I don't know what it is. I just named him Mr. Potato, and he's a great cuddler in bed. I probably sound like a softie.
Now, I am 27 years old and I sleep with this stuffed rat that doesn't have a name.
That's
and he
awesome.
Only has a face on one side.
Yeah, there is
no shame in cuddling a nice plushie.
Okay, good.
No,
I'm 30 and mine's a duck, so.
That's awesome. You know, when I was like 8 years old, I used to, okay, this is really funny. I used to have like a butt ton of stuffies in my bed, and then I would set them up in a way where, this sounds so weird, guys, I'm so sorry, but I would set them up in a way where they were like soldiers, you know, and they're preparing to go to war.
Mm-hmm.
And I would spend 20 minutes in bed just like, you know, pushing them off to war. It probably makes no sense, but this makes total sense in my head right now. Like, there was this dude, he was like, I made him pretend he was Bruce Lee, and he was like doing like all these like cool kicks and like beating somebody up. It was amazing. Now I've explained this out loud verbally, I'm a little bit embarrassed by sharing this story, but this was when I was 8 years old and I had like 20 stuffed animals in bed to help me go to sleep. So now I've kind of like toned it down to just Mr. Potato. And since then, Mr. Potato has been doing a good job.
It sounds like he's really there for you. And if it makes you feel better, I didn't do a war thing, but I would line mine up and pretend that they were all in school and taking a yearbook photo together. So
I would always have to have all of them lying in my bed. Just because, like, if I don't have all of them, one of them would be mad at me for a very, like, for, like, well into my teens. I was like, if I demote one of them out of my bed, they will be mad at me and upset about
this. Plushies are notoriously petty in that way.
Yes, yes. Like, the
Mr. Potato
that we put
head.
Them on is, like, you know, it's very high. Sometimes like Mr. Potato is like it's a higher priority than myself, and self-care just goes out the window and it's all about Mr. Potato for me. Like I got to make sure he's in good shape.
Yeah, but you got to put the mask on yourself before you put the mask on your child. So sometimes you do have to like remember to take care of yourself. It's important.
Take care of yourself so you can be sound of mind.
You got to put the masks on. You can't be those anti-maskers and push out their nonsense words. Like
you heard it here first.
I'm done. Like every Saturday here in Toronto, like you have like a whole protest parade kind of deal with these anti-maskers and saying that COVID-19 is fake. And like, look, I'm so done with it. These mm-hmm. are the people that have pretty much derailed the whole recovery process, the whole process to slow this thing down. And you know, if there's anybody out there listening and you honestly don't really take anything I say, just please take this one and put a mask on, not just for your own safety, but for everybody else's safety. It's so important, you know, like this virus is like next level. And yes, it's great that the vaccines are rolling out, but we still need to do our job in making sure that we're all doing our part. You know, this is like perfect opportunity to be a community, work together and slow this thing down and completely eliminate all of this until, like, you know, the vaccine is completely accessible by everybody.
Well said. I would clap, it's not good for audio levels, but I'm clapping in my heart.
Clapping on all levels except physical. Here's a question that I really enjoy asking. Imagine a theoretical where some sort of alien life form comes to Earth and they've never seen figure skating before. They have no idea what it is. It's just a completely unfamiliar blank slate. What would be the one program you show a complete outsider to be like, this is it. This is the sport. This is what we do.
Can I put two performances?
Yes. Yes.
Javier Fernandez, 2019... European.
Oh, you hit us where we live now.
Yes.
And then Yuzu's national has free program from this year's national or 2020 national.
Outstanding choices.
Oh, well done.
Really capture the whole figure skating spirit. Yuzu's being more majestic, regal with the heaven and earth, and then Javi with the more emotional, the spiritual kind of vibe with it. Not gonna lie, I don't really get emotional watching people skate, but with Javi's final program of his career, I shed a tear, man.
Like, how could you not? Like, you're only human.
It's impossible not to.
I know. And like, obviously, like, you know, I split ways from the cricket like back in what, 2016, but when I watched that, it kind of like put me back into like 2015, where him, Yuzu, and I were all training together, and it was just the three of us back then, you know, just pushing out our technical content and really just getting the training spirit going. And just to watch that really brought me back. I actually watched that program this morning when I woke up. I was like, what should I watch? And then like his program came up onto my For You page. So watch that.
God.
Yeah, those are the two performances that I recommend for sure.
That's an incredible choice. I will always remember like his free skate, Javi's Blast Euros free skate, where, you know, he was third in the short and it was this whole deal, and then he was like having to prove himself, and I was screaming.
And that's it perfectly represents his entire career, right? Yeah. And that free program was not 100% clean. If you remember, the second last jump, he was supposed to do triple flip, half loop, triple sow, but he just did a two and a half flip and then triple sow. And I think that little hiccup right there perfectly represents his career and his lifestyle, is that nothing is always perfect for him, and yet he still can adapt to it and, you know, push through it with a little bit of humor, because that's who he is. He's like a humorous guy, and anybody who's ever met him, honestly, like, should be grateful, because he's a very special person. And I haven't seen him in a while, but I think it's due that I should kind of like reach out to him and just check on how he's doing. But yeah, no, I miss him a lot.
Oh, that's so moving. Now I want
to
watch that.
I was like, I miss him a lot too.
I've never spoken to this man.
I just miss watching him skate.
His character is so evident through his skating, right? Like when you watch somebody skate, like you know them as like just a skater. But when you watch Javi and you watch him skate, not only you know him as a skater, you know him as a person, even though you may have never met him, right? Yeah. And that was like kind of like my whole thing. Just watching him go through his career, especially at the cricket. Like when I first moved to the cricket, I had no idea who these people were. But then, you know, as the years go by and, you know, the emotions we shared, it's like, holy damn, like we got something special going on. And you know, unfortunately it all ended, but obviously at some point in life you have to move on, right? So
yeah.
This is now the Javi appreciation podcast. There are two people. There's a lot of drama at my rank right now because two separate tiny girls are skating to the same cut of Pirates of the Caribbean and they're fighting about it. Oh. But anytime they play Pirates at practice, I'm always like, oh my God, Javi. Like every single, it's embarrassing for me as an person to be like that. But there's so much drama and there's like crying over who gets to be the Pirates of the Caribbean skater. There's like so much going on and I'm just in the corner like, oh, but remember Javi.
You're living your fantasy.
I'm just living my dream. Anyway, this is a beautiful answer to that question. We should tweet both of those programs when we post this episode to be like, here's a reminder. Yeah.
That'd be great.
This is homework.
Skating is now, I think, getting a little bit more popular now. And, you know, people need to be educated on the finer things in this sport. And I think those two performances are what the people need, especially right now, right? So,
yeah.
How do you feel about that? That's like a thing that we've been seeing, like a lot of skaters on Instagram, TikTok, all of that, like making it to non-skating internet. We've talked about it a little bit with Jordan of Valfi's perspective when he was with us on the show, is like, do you think that's a part of the future of skating as a sport, is like people stumbling their way into it with, you know, like social media and the internet and all of that?
I think so. Not just in the skating world, but whatever sport there it is out there, mm-hmm. I think social media has played a huge part in garnering attention to whatever it is you're looking at.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say because I've been so into the skating world for mm-hmm. for a long time, right? I mean, it's my entire life. And so I don't really have that outsider's perspective on how much attention this sport is garnering from, you know, the non-skating world. But I do think that, you know, day in, day out, that our sport continues to find its popularity once again that it used to have back in the 80s, back in the 90s, or even 70s, I would say. I think, and it's all because of, like, you know, the Unikims, like the Evgeny Medvedevas, Yuzu Ruhanis, like those people are really doing, they're great ambassadors for the sport. They've really pushed themselves to the limit, not just for the people in the skating world, but for the people outside of the skating world. Because I always think that in order to make a name for yourself, yes, it's impressive that you can do that for the people in the skating world, but for people to outside the skating world to take notice, like that's pretty mm-hmm. incredible. Right. Mm-hmm. So for them to have been able to bring these people in, it's quite impressive.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We really do need to talk about Hudson, though, because I feel like we've been really good about talking about you. And I think it's Hudson's turn to shine. Yeah. So tell us about your baby. Like, how did you become a father? Like, how did, you know, what's it been like for you?
Yeah. So Hudson was a quarantine puppy. I got him like during the first lockdown because there's nothing going on. And I thought that was the right time to get a dog and, you know, raise him and get him ready. Right. Like when things go back to normal, because when things go back to normal, I won't have a lot of time to take care of Hudson. So that was like the biggest reason. And I've always wanted a dog for like the longest time. But my parents didn't want to take on the commitment, but they love him now. Like, honestly, because I skate every day, right? So I'm not really in the house that much, but my parents have taken quite a liking to him and they're so emotionally attached. And they'll be sad to see him go because next Friday I'm moving out into my own place.
Ooh, congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm taking Hudson with me. And so it'll be a little bit of a hard breakup between my parents and Hudson. But yeah, no, Hudson is like the best thing that's ever happened to me. He's really helped me, you know, stay positive and through many of like the bad sessions that I've experienced. And he's just there no matter who you are. Like dogs don't care who you are as a human being. They're just there for you and will love you to like no extent. And the dude's so cute. I love him.
He really is.
But yeah.
He's so beautiful.
I'm a fan. I'm afraid of most dogs, but he's not one of the ones I'm afraid of.
I used to be afraid of dogs. Listen, I used to be afraid of dogs my whole life. And I'll even go to the point and say, like, when I was, like, 6 years old, this dog like bit my nether regions, and I was so far from that. Yeah.
Anybody like, would be. Damn.
That sounds traumatic. I'm gonna
put that out there for you guys.
Traumatic.
Yeah, he straight up just went for the for
oh, you know, God.
To the special areas. Yeah, and then I was just I hated dogs until like 2017. Because like I was seeing this person for a bit, and she had two dogs of her own, and obviously I needed to kind of get over my fear in order to, you know, continue this. And so from then on, like, I've taken quite a liking to all dogs. Still a little bit hesitant around like super big dogs, but most other dogs, like, I absolutely love. And now I have my very own.
You heard it here, folks. You can overcome your fear of dogs. You just need a Hudson in your life.
Exactly.
Just get a Hudson. Exactly.
Everybody deserves one.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Oh, God.
Well, listen, aside from fatherhood, is there anything else that you... I know a lot of people have picked up, like, hobbies or interests during quarantine. Anything else, like, new for you? Or is it all about the baby?
At first, it was all about the baby. And then I downloaded TikTok. I downloaded TikTok, and you would be surprised at how educational this app can be. When you're on the right algorithm and you come across the right users, these people can show you like the ins and outs of just life in general. And now, like, I'm telling you, honestly, I tweeted this out the other day and people were asking me what this was, but you'll be the first to hear it. I have made 3 life-changing decisions from TikTok, like, that were heavily influenced by TikTok. The first one was being getting a dog, okay? The second one is picking up my real estate license, which I'm currently in pursuit of right now.
Hell yeah, congratulations.
And then thank you. And then the third one is buying my own place.
Hell yeah.
Those three factors obviously are life-changing, but they were heavily influenced by TikTok. I don't know how to explain it. Like, every time I'm scrolling, somebody's there just explaining the ins and outs of the real estate world, or like saying how the housing market is down in Toronto due to COVID-19, and now is like the perfect time to buy and use it as an investment purpose and all that stuff. Like, it's incredible. I was so skeptical at first because all I could think of were, like, you know, teenage girls doing TikTok dances and being all cringy and awkward about it. And but no, like, this, and now, like, I'm interested in the stock market because my algorithm is showing me a lot about the stock market, and I've invested a little bit of money into Bitcoin right now.
Oh, like, Jesus. How's that
it's
going?
It's a little bit sad that I'm heavily influenced by an app and not really doing a lot of research. But no, I've done quite a bit of research on, like, all of these stuff. But yeah, no. And the Bitcoin thing, I've just started investing, so it's, like, not too bad right now. Like, I mean, it's at an all-time high, obviously, right now. And I'm a little scared that I might have invested at the wrong time. But, you know, I didn't invest a lot of money into it, so I think I'm okay.
I think you're fine. I'm mostly on, like, I was on prosthetic limbs TikTok for a very long time, and I couldn't do anything about it. My algorithm was broken. It was showing me all of those amazing creators with just, like, prosthetic limbs and, like, their lives and, like, educational videos about, like, prosthetics, which, like, super inspirational, and I admire, like, everyone's, like, perseverance, but...
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't apply to my life.
That's a little odd.
My TikTok shows me just ferrets. It's all ferrets all day. And I didn't used to be a ferret person, really? But goddammit, if I'm not a ferret person now, yeah, that's how they get you. All ferrets.
Honestly, I wouldn't complain about it either. I wouldn't complain if my For You page was just ferrets. Ferrets are like the cutest things on this planet.
They are, and it's a great way to be. I'm a true believer in ferrets now, so TikTok has really changed us all in this way.
It really has, yeah.
Nam, what's your TikTok?
My TikTok is Nam Nam Noodle, but I don't post videos. I just use it to watch
incredible
this stuff. But Jordan posted something of me on TikTok, and I have, like, so many followers. I don't know. I think I have, like, 278 followers.
You do. There are 279 now because I just followed you.
Nice. But I just don't, I can't bring myself to post or do the dances or whatever. So I just use TikTok to get inspired or feel the need to be educated on real life.
On ferrets.
Yeah, or on ferrets too.
Ferrets are real, I think.
Allegedly. Allegedly. I don't know. I have not have seen the seen outside one? World in a very long time, so I would not know. Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
If there's, what's something that you wish people asked you when you get interviewed?
I don't really know. I'm just so grateful to be, you know, having opportunities to have like these amazing conversations with you guys or with other people like in the similar format. And so I don't really know if I can, if I'm in any position to be like, I want you to ask me this, I want you to ask me that. Like, I don't think so. Like, honestly, just having this, you know, time with you guys has been incredible. And it's been so fun. Like, I totally forgot. Like, I'm not gonna lie with you, before this, I was a little nervous. Like, I'm usually nervous before, you know, any interviews or podcasts or whatever it is. But like, honestly, I've totally forgot that this was like a podcast. And it just feels like I'm on like FaceTime audio, just having a friendly conversation with like, you know, two of my friends.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's so good to hear. That's like, I'm so happy. The goal. We feel that way too, Nam. This was so much fun. We had a great time. Thank you so much for being on here with us.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed my time out here with you guys. And, I had a great time. And I hope to see you guys in person one day.
Oh my God. May we be allowed to travel again one day?
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, if you guys are ever in Canada or in Toronto, let me know.
Hell yeah. And whenever you make it back to Bulgaria, I'm taking you out for coffee. It's happening.
Yeah. Of course. Let's do it.
Or the greater Boston area for me. I'm in Providence. So yeah, we'll meet up somewhere. Nice. And we'll do a repeat interview in person.
And in the meantime, if you just want to come back and just chat with us, that door is absolutely always open. Depending on how the season goes, if you want to share more things, always open invitation. Just let us know.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys so much.
Let's do an outro for the people. Nam, if people want to find you on the internet and tell you things and or be nice to you, where can they find you?
Okay, so obviously, you know how it is, everybody. It's your favorite noodle man. Follow me on my Instagram, my Twitter, TikTok if you want it. Nam Noodle. I can't guarantee I'll follow back, but what I can guarantee is providing some great content for you guys out there. And just spreading the love for whatever I have in skating or whatever I have in life. So yeah, definitely check them out. Love you guys.
Incredible.
That's like my thing. Every time like Jordan or from On Ice Perspectives puts his camera on me, I always say those lines just because one day if I ever start like a YouTube channel or something like that requires me to do an outro, that will be my go-to outro. So I'm just using these opportunities to rehearse it and better it. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You gotta have like a myself out there. Like a brother channel to Rumsky TV.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
You should.
That's so funny you say that because I want to like when I move into my new place, like once I move, I'm using it as an opportunity to start everything new. It's like basically a new chapter in my life pretty much. Mm-hmm. And I wanna start, you know, sharing bits and pieces of my life to people, like not just through Instagram or in Twitter, but through a more like personal feel like YouTube. The only thing that's holding me back is that I don't really want to step on Roman's feet because what he's doing on there is just incredible. Like he is building quite the fan base, and his work on the YouTube in the YouTube world is amazing. Like I've seen the behind the scenes and all that, and it like the amount of work he puts into it is some next level commitment. And I'm afraid that I won't be able to follow up on that next level commitment that is required. So still debating on that idea, but it's something that I would really enjoy doing and just wanting to share a little bit more about myself to people out there for sure.
I think it's always fascinating. And like YouTube is so big, I don't think anyone would be like, oh, there's already one figure skater on YouTube. Like, how dare you?
Mm-hmm. We will only follow one Canadian boy. There can only be one. It's like, it's Highlander rules.
You call him a boy. He's a man.
I'm sorry, Nam. I'm sorry I called you a boy. I'm canceled.
Now people are going to write bad reviews on your podcast.
So like, how dare you? He's a poor man.
How dare you do this? Unacceptable.
This has been delightful. Megan, do you want to just real quick do an outro for this so we show Nam how we do an outro and also so we have it?
Yeah, that's probably good. Well, if you want to follow me on social media, I'm at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter and Instagram. Where are you, Netta?
You can find me at NetaMarie, that's N-E-D-A, and then just Marie on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me at @_ice_skating if you're into seeing a 27-year-old attempt to land a single loop for the first time. That's it, and you can find both of us at IcedPod on Twitter and Instagram for more real-time thoughts and opinions. You can also find us at patreon.com/IcedPod for extra content for just $1 a month or upwards. You can support us, you can keep the metaphorical lights on in the studio, and you can just make our lives easier and also donate to some really great causes. That's all. Is that all?
No, it's not all, because the very minimum $1 perk of becoming a patron is that you get a shout out, and sometimes you get a shout out in front of maybe your favorite skater, Nam Nguyen. So thank you to all of our wonderful patrons: Barbara, Nikki, Joseph, Susan, KM, In Spirit I Am Always Throwing Plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Julia, Danny, and Jordan.
Incredible. Thank you all so much, and thank you, Nam, for being here with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It was awesome.
Yay. All right. That's an episode. I'm gonna hit stop. Bye-bye.